What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, we have a lot of things brewing all of a sudden. Cam Hayward on a podcast had some interesting things to say about the Steelers' game plan in Baltimore. We're going to get into that before the top of the hour. And Marlon Humphrey, this was eye-opening, intimating that something's not quite right here. We're going to get into that in just a moment.
Here meaning here.
Here meaning Pittsburgh,
yes,
with the Steelers.
Here meaning here.
Here meaning here. Certainly not there. They're headed to Buffalo.
As a favorite, surprisingly, but they are.
Yes. This is from Benzie this morning. And he tells us in his first call that Max Crosby is endorsing the idea of the Raiders signing Najee Harris. What do you think of that, Bob? Let me ask the question this way. Do you think Najee Harris is going to have a long, productive NFL career? Is he going to thrive somewhere else the way that he couldn't here? And I got a email the other day, somebody saying, man, you're nuts. You said that was a bad pick. This guy runs for 1,000 yards every year. He does this and that. I said he's been durable, and his numbers are you know, he has counting numbers. But he's averaged 3.9 yards a carry in his career, 2.7 in the playoffs. They draft it. When you draft a guy in the first round as a running back, he needs to be a home run hitter. He's a singles hitter. That's how I feel right about Najee. You?
And me too. I expected more production. But if the answer to the question is yes, he'll have a long, productive career, and he'll make his share of money. But it will not be as an elite running back. I just don't see it in him. What I see is someone who can contribute to the committee, the running back committee, whatever it may be, as a complement to another guy. But I don't see Saquon Barkley. I don't see the elite guys in the league right now in him. I just don't. Not his fault altogether. I mean, I don't think the blocking on the offensive line got better as this season went on. He's durable. He doesn't fumble, largely. Those are all good things. He's out there. He runs hard. All good things. He'll get another job, and somebody may want to feature him. But I don't know that you're going to get the results that you're looking for if you expect him to be a feature back.
Max Crosby was talking, was this on a podcast? I'm not sure. He said, why not, about Najee? He's from the Bay. Najee's a baller. Anybody that could help when it comes to winning and being a culture guy, a leader, that's the type of guy I want around. You've seen Najee. Max Crosby says he's played 4 years in the league and has 1,000 yards every season. He's a tough blanking guy to tackle. I'd love to have a guy like Najee around. Sounds to me like he might be expecting too much. I hate to say this, but I'm not sure that it's going to get better. I think it might get worse for Najee elsewhere. At least here, he had a team that wanted to run the ball and wanted to feature him. I don't know if I see Najee lasting very long. Certainly not as a number one back. It's going to have to be in a timeshare.
Right, that's what I said. As part of a committee, if you get the committee approach, he can help that committee. I don't think there's any question. I think last year more than this year, you saw that with the compliment of him and Warren. But this year, too much was expected from that committee. And I think as a result, the numbers overall were not very good as a unit.
And I can't help but look at Najee as part of the failed plan around here, Bob. And you mentioned yesterday that they didn't really have a plan to replace Ben. But I would disagree at least this way. Their plan was to draft Mason Rudolph. And it wasn't like an eighth-round pick or something. They don't even have eight rounds, I don't think. It was a third-round pick, 76th overall. They traded up three spots to get him. You remember Ben's reaction on this station when they got him. So I think their plans, and I wrote about this for the Post-Gazette this morning, their plans for a post-Ben world started with this guy, Mason Rudolph, in 2018. And it soon became clear that he wasn't going to be the guy. So they sort of readjusted their sights, and clearly this was the plan. This was the crux of it, Bob.
I don't think it was a plan.
Okay, but let's forget about him for a minute. I think that's where it started. The plan clearly was to supplement a highly paid and hopefully elite defense with a young, dynamic offense. That's why you've seen five straight years of an offensive guy getting picked first. That's why you've seen 11 of their last 16 picks in rounds 1 through 3, offensive guys. They drafted a running back. They drafted a wide receiver or 2 or 3, Chase Claypool and Pickens. They drafted all kinds of linemen. They drafted a quarterback, 20th overall. They drafted a tight end as a luxury pick. And guess what? I think we can now say that that mission failed so miserably with Kevin Colbert involved, Omar Khan involved, Mike Tomlin involved, that it's done. That era's done. And this offense, with most of those guys either leaving now or gone, this offense just finished a season in which it didn't have a single touchdown on its first drive of a game.
Stretching back to last year.
Finished 29th in red zone scoring and had 29 yards and 14 points in another blowout playoff loss. What a blanking disaster this was, born of the arrogance of some of those picks, ill-advised picks, misguided hires in now 2 different coordinators, maybe 3 if you want to include Fichtner. It's just been a study in mismanagement on how to go into life after a legendary quarterback. Just a study in rampant mismanagement.
Well, I'm going to speak to the plan of trying to come up with a succession plan for a quarterback. Because I said this yesterday, and I really believe it looking back. And I know it's easy to look back. I guarantee you that a lot of people do now, but at the time they may have believed this. If your plan was to draft a quarterback in 2018 as the ultimate successor to Ben Roethlisberger, they justified it when they took, at pick 76 in round 3, a guy who they said they had a first-round grade on.
Traded up for him.
But a lot of people didn't have a first-round grade on it.
Right.
If their plan was to come away with a quarterback in that draft, why not Lamar Jackson in round 1?
44 picks is all that separated Lamar
they took
from Mason.
Terrell Edmonds ahead of him.
Garden variety safety.
And it was just because it was a need. Okay, you could find needs. But if your plan, this is why I don't think they really had a plan. If the plan was to come up with a quarterback in that draft who you can sit for a year or two or whatever the case may be until he's called upon, why not Lamar Jackson, who by all accounts was rated much higher than Mason Rudolph, and you had the chance to do it? Now, you may have thought going in you wouldn't get that chance, but he ended up getting 32nd overall.
Yes, 32nd.
If your plan was to get a quarterback, why not him? Why wait till a third round to get a guy who you may like, but obviously that assessment of him was wrong?
Why not him? I mean, that's something that they'll study in the history books someday when they pick apart the bones of this era of Steelers football and how they failed to replace Ben.
Right, and I think every unit, we talked about Green Bay, twice they did it, much to the chagrin of their incumbent. I get all that. It's a business, though. You have to make the decision based on that. Lamar Jackson was a more accomplished, I think, in terms of his overall athleticism and what they thought. Now, he had to develop a passing game. Mason Rudolph was really good in that crazy conference that threw the ball everywhere, and he took down Baker Mayfield in a significant game. But if he was that good, he would have been taken before the third round, I think. There were people who thought maybe he wasn't going to be. They thought differently. I would have just, if that's my number one issue that I want to start this plan, that would have been my choice.
Okay. Well, at least they doubled back and picked Kenny Pickett. But let's
again,
talk about,
after duress of not having someone, they were still searching at that point. And when you search and hope is not necessarily the right way to go.
Yeah. We're speaking of the same thing, a multifaceted failed mission. I compared it to Napoleon's invasion of Russia here, Bob. Just ill-fated, ill-conceived, ill-executed, and unbelievably arrogant. For them to go out and take a running back and a tight end with their first 2 picks in the Najee year and leave Creed Humphrey on the board when they needed a center, I mean, some of the things that happened when they were trying to build this future offense.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They go out and dump a boatload of money on a tackle, Chooks, who didn't like football, and a center, Kendrick Green, who didn't like center. They drafted him. He didn't even want to play center. The things that happened here were incredible. How about the hiring of an amateur coordinator in Matt Canada, and then what they hoped was a tried and true one in Arthur Smith, who in some ways is worse than Canada? How about the Canada disaster? It's hard to know where to start with how they mangled building an offense post Ben. Let's start up front then. Let's start with the offensive line. They've rifled through multiple offensive line coaches, including the year the one guy, Adrian Clem, left in the middle of a season. He gets a job. Mike Tomlin gives him a break, gives him a job after there are some questions about his career previous to here. You're the offensive line coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he quits in the middle of the season. And
he got another offer that was more money.
It was painted as this is normal for an offensive line coach to quit in the middle of a playoff.
No, that
run.
Wasn't normal.
It's not.
But he did get an
it's
offer
not.
That
I know
liked.
He did. I know he did, and it could have waited. I know he did. That was painted as nothing to see here. It's just our offensive line coach quitting in the middle of a playoff run. There were rumors that he didn't like working with Canada. So go ahead and start with the line, Bob.
Well, the line, I mean, you just mentioned, they draft Dan Moore, they draft Kevin Dotson, they draft Green. Of all the people they let go, it's Kevin Dotson, and he turns out to be really good and got a big paycheck, and he's been very effective. So they obviously thought he wasn't going to be what he has turned out to be.
They put him on the wrong side of the line and didn't develop him. And yes, ironically, he's the best offensive player relative to his peers that they've taken during this post-Ben, or he came late in the Ben era. The last 6 years, he's the best guy in the NFL right now that they drafted on offense.
Right, and for some reason, he was just, they didn't like him, they didn't want him, and he goes away and he becomes a really good guard in the National Football
really
League.
Really good player.
Yeah. And now, one of the better guys on their offensive line, which is playing this week in the game against Philadelphia. So they miscalculated him. They misjudged him.
Yep.
Green, they put in a position they should never have. It was a difficult thing to watch him play there because that was not his normal position. And they kind of forced it because they didn't have any answers.
Right.
And Dan Moore, you know, God bless him in that he's a really good dude. He works his butt off. But the longer he plays, I think the more exposed he gets. And that was true at the end of this season here. So
they've put all this time and effort into the offensive line. tons of draft picks.
And back-to-back first-round picks?
Tackles, both. And what they're left with, and yes, one guy got hurt. What they're left with is two starting tackles after all these years now who led the NFL in combined sacks allowed for tackles. How about the receivers they've taken? Their first pick in 20 was Claypool. Their second pick in 22 was Pickens. Two guys, one of whom didn't make it to a second contract, one of whom might not make it to a second contract. The list just goes on, Bob.
And getting back to the succession plan, if you missed on the first one, which involved Lamar Jackson, you had a do-over, a mulligan, as we say in golf, right?
Yeah.
It could have been Jalen Hurts in round two over Chase Claypool, who was chosen before Jalen Hurts. If you felt like maybe Mason Rudolph was not the answer, we need to still address this succession plan.
Right.
This was the second opportunity. And again, I get it. We're looking backwards. It's easy to look backwards. But they had those opportunities, and they put a lot of money into time investment into trying to figure out what these guys are and translate their college success into what it could be in the pros.
For sure.
So that their job is to find those guys.
And
that was a mulligan,
them.
And they did not choose him.
Right.
And that's not to project that he would be this good here as he is in Philly. I don't know. But he has the tools, you know, and so they could have gone in that direction.
Yeah, the reason why I think this is a timely exercise is to do the autopsy here, is because we're about to say goodbye to Najee. That's where it all began, and he was one of the centerpieces for this. He's not going to be here. Artie Smith might not be here. George Pickens might not be here. And we've already said goodbye to Rudolph and, you know,
Claypool
and Pickett and James Washington and Matt Canada. It's an unbelievable disaster, Bob. What has happened here?
And that's why Patrick Peterson on his podcast said he wouldn't bring anyone back on offense, but yet he did.
After all of this, and oh, the other part of the plan was, yes, we'll put a ton of money into an elite defense. That allegedly elite defense became, and listen carefully to this, the first defense in the history of professional football to allow 40 or more points in three consecutive playoff games. Think about that. Think about it.
There's nothing to think about. It's been a failure there. Those are the games that matter the most. And when you come out, especially early in the games, and you mentioned the streak that is now 20 games in a row without a first possession touchdown, all these things matter for a team that has high standards.
A team that thinks it does things better than everybody because it never has a losing season. And that has absolutely and indisputably become the standard. And I feel like that's the thing they're most proud of at this point.
I don't think they're going to prop that up as something they're proud of.
It gets propped up on every single telecast,
well,
I can tell you that.
That's different than they believing it.
Well, what is their standard these days?
Well, it is a paper standard right now. They got to prove it to win in the playoffs and get to a Super Bowl. That's a standard for them. It should be, and they say it, but it hasn't lived up to it. But
in
like
almost
I said,
a decade.
I don't know that they're sitting there propping their chest, banging on saying, oh, we're
great.
Well,
the reason I say that with Art is because he apparently is satisfied with this, because not only does he keep extending his coach, he gave him a raise last time and gave him an unusually large extension of 3 years instead of two. So call me crazy, but after you could make a very solid argument that Tomlin's fate should have been tied to him hiring a horrible offensive coordinator in Matt Canada and drafting a below-the-line quarterback in Kenny Pickett, you could make the argument that when that blew up completely on both fronts, that they should have fired Mike Tomlin or at least put him on notice. And instead, Art Rooney gave him an unusually long contract extension with a nice raise in there. So, Bob, that's why, again, call me crazy, but it sure seems to me like Art doesn't have much of a problem with what's going on. He's rewarding the guy at the top of the food chain.
Well, I think more than anything, they still believe that stability is the way to go. That's the only reason I could think that that's ongoing. But I do know that, you know, last year he put and he raised the ante when he said we need to win postseason games.
Empty
it's an
words.
Urgency. I
Empty
understand
words.
That, but he said it, so, you know, bottom line is it didn't happen. In fact, they regressed as this season went on. So these are things they have to deal with in this offseason, trying to figure out where they go next and how they...
Where do they go next? I think it was Fittipaldi who said multiple coaches could go. I mean, It's rearranging deck chairs at this point. So they fire Terrell Austin and bring in another figurehead defensive coordinator, and that's going to change something?
You know, I don't know. They're going to be judged on what they do in this offseason, clearly. But, Mike Tomlin said there'll be changes at every level. We'll see what that means. And it can't be just coaches' contracts expiring, and so, therefore, it's an easy way to make a change. It's got to be beyond that, I would think.
It's to make rearranging deck chairs. No, I don't see. There's where you and I disagree. There's nothing they can do short of moving on from the head coach that would, quote, make a statement.
Well,
nothing.
As I told you last year, I thought it was a perfect way to just see how this played out by not extending and just saying, you got a year left. We're gonna see what happens in this year. You know, our intentions are to win playoff games, and we'll judge everything accordingly.
Do you think Artie will be back?
What do you mean?
Arthur Smith.
You threw me off there when you said Artie. I'm like, wait a minute. I do, because I think he's not going to get a head coaching job. I would be surprised if he did. Would you?
I don't know, man. We have two teams that are as incompetent as the Bears and Jets want to interview him. They just might hire him.
As a head coach, he's had 3 straight 7-10 seasons.
Yeah.
He's coming off a season as offensive coordinator where the numbers don't look good.
Right.
He's not a hot commodity.
Did I mention the Jets and the Bears are the teams interested?
Okay. You know, you have a quarterback in Chicago, which should attract a lot of attention. I know Mike McCarthy's interviewed there. I don't know how many other people they've interviewed, but I would take my time with that, and it's very important given what's happened in Chicago. You know, there are a lot of teams in these same situations where these decisions moving forward are going to define what this franchise is in the coming years.